Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us on this edition, well, give us a call right now because we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m., it's the live broadcast and your best chance to speak directly with Bob Christopher and me here at Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There's a lot of negative talk about Christians out there in the marketplace today. Awesome. A lot of skepticism, a lot of finger pointing, mm-hmm. a lot of accusations about hate language that Christians are using, and all of it's just made up stuff.
Right.
Airports pulling Chick-fil-A out of their
gates mall or
and
whatever.
That sort of thing, and it's just ridiculous. But that's the world we live in today, and certainly back in Paul's day, he suffered persecution, and anybody mm-hmm. That was going to live a righteous life was going to be persecuted, and Paul talked about that. But we've been equipped to handle it, and that is the good news of the gospel. We don't have to shrink back in fear. We can stand strong in who we are in Christ. Why? Because Christ can defend himself, and Christ has an agenda. Christ has a plan that he is executing through us. And so we see Paul writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, and he's saying this: "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So Paul met Timothy, and he understood kind of the influence that he had from his grandmother and his mother and the faith that they expressed to him, and he caught that, and Paul really took him under his wing mm-hmm. and matured him and grew him up in the Lord, and then set him apart to share this good news of Jesus Christ. And it says this: "So fan this thing into flame, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Mm-hmm. So that's what God has equipped us with, not a spirit of fear. So this Spirit of God that lives in us helps cast away all of that fear that's in us and gives us bravery and courage to live out who we are in this present generation. So we don't have a spirit of fear, but this spirit that we do have is one of power. So the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in us. It's coursing through our spiritual veins. It's a part of our spiritual DNA, the very power of resurrection. So we have that power, and we have love. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts, and self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So we can trust what God has done in inside of us, how he's equipped us to handle the adversity that is naturally going to come our way as believers in Christ. So if you're going through trials, if you're going through tribulation, if you're facing these critics and these skeptics, and they are mocking you or jeering you or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, let this verse be your encouragement today. For God gave you not a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-control. Yeah. This is God's work for you, in you, and through you. So stand strong and don't be ashamed to share this good news of Jesus Christ.
And that's the message from Basic Gospel today. Thanks, Bob, for that. And friends, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Something weighing on you, a troubling issue at home, maybe a Bible question that's been nagging at you for a while. Great opportunity for you to speak with us right now. 844-322-2742. And friends, other than radio, one of the best ways to stay connected with Basic Gospel is through our daily devotional. Sharing the truth of God's love and grace will help you start each day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing that you belong to him. Subscribe today online at basicgospel.net/subscribe. The devotional is free and it arrives by email every morning. So visit basicgospel.net/subscribe and sign up free for the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Well, once again, that number, 844-322-2742, open lines for you right now. Overnight, we had this call that came in from a steward. Let's listen.
Hi, Bob. My name is Stuart, and I'm calling from Canada, up in British Columbia, Canada. And I just have a question related to the lingering consequences of our past sins and how our present lives and how we deal with it in our present lives in the here and now. So what sort of Bible verses are related to how we can come to forgive ourselves for things? And the second question or related to that is, when we receive and understand, how would we fully accept God's grace in that situation as well from the consequences of our past sins? I love the show. I've been listening to it for 2 years, and you guys are great. And it's a fantastic program. Just thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you, Stuart.
Well, Stuart asks a great question, and we're so glad that he's listening to us up in British Columbia, Canada, and glad you've been tuned in for the past 2 years. There are many people that have difficulty forgiving themselves, and I love what C.S. Lewis said about this. If God has forgiven us, we ought to forgive ourselves. It just makes sense, yeah, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, when you search the scriptures, you're not going to find a passage anywhere from Genesis to Revelation that talks about forgiving yourself. What it does say is that we need to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ to realize that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, that we are no longer under condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that we have a brand new identity. We're called children of God. That's what we are in this world, even in spite of the things that we have done and the things that we will do in the future. Mm-hmm. We've been given a new identity. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. So that's where we have to start in a situation like this. So we've done something that has brought about some dire consequences, and these are just natural consequences. These aren't punishments or judgments from God. These are just consequences that are built into the sin itself. Mm-hmm. So if you commit adultery, a divorce occurs, well, you're always going to be divorced. And that's going to be something that you have right in front of you for the rest of your life. And you may feel guilty over what you did, and you may regret that, and you may think about the what ifs if you hadn't have and the marriage had continued. So you can think all of those sort of things. But you have to come back and say, well, what has Christ done with that? Well, Christ condemned it. God the Father condemned it in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago. So he's already made a pretty direct, truthful, harsh statement about what you did. And Jesus stood in your place, and he took that sin upon himself. And he bled and died so that you could be released from the punishment of it. You could be released from the power of sin and death and be freed to walk in the newness of life. So you have to stop and say, thank you, thank you. Now, that doesn't necessarily get rid of some of those just gut feelings that you have over what you did years ago. But it brings you to the point where you don't let those feelings dictate what's going on here and now. And that's the key.
Right.
You want the truth of the gospel to be the very thing that shapes you from this day forward. And so the truth of the gospel is that Christ died for your sins in accordance with Scripture. So he's already dealt with it. If you're in Christ, then you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You stand before God as a forgiven person. The other thing that you need to guard against is oftentimes we let the sins of the past define who we are today. Mm-hmm. So even though we may know verses about the forgiveness of God, we may know verses about our identity in Christ, those seem to be ineffective because we're clinging on to that identity based on that horrible thing that we did years ago. Mm-hmm. We have to recognize that we have an identity that trumps that, that transcends that. And that's this identity as a child of God, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So you have to rest in the fact that you are a forgiven person and that you have a new identity in Jesus, that you are a child of God. That is what you are. Now, if you keep dwelling on that past and you forget that that's been forgiven, then that's going to really stifle your growth in grace. So you need to leave that at the cross where it is. You know, it's been punished. It's been buried. Leave it there and move forward in the newness of life that you have in Christ Jesus as a child of God.
Stuart, great to hear from you. Great question, and we appreciate the accolades very, very much. Again, friends, open lines, 844-322-2742. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, a good opportunity right now. It's about 10 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, so you're hearing the live broadcast if you're hearing it at that time, so we would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Remember, friends, that we're streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. We would love for you to be a part of the group that tunes in that way every day and just comes right inside the studio with Bob and me. In the meantime, Bob, another question that came in overnight was this one.
We're supposed to have a God of love that cares, and why would he allow somebody's fiance to get kidnapped and end up sold into human trafficking and slavery?
Well, that's a very tough question, and yeah. I hope that's not your fiance, and if it is, our hearts go out to you, and I hope law enforcement is doing everything it can to solve that, mm-hmm. to find her and right. to bring her back. But in this world, bad things happen. Bad things happen all the time, and we have a reason for that, and John tells us that reason. In his first letter, toward the very end of his first letter. So this is 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So this world lies in the power of the evil one. Those who were lost, dead in trespasses and sins, dead spiritually, they are under the power of this evil one. They are following the ways of this world. They are living to gratify the desires of the flesh. So as long as the evil one continues to have his power in this world, as long as people are sinners, we're going to see horrible things, horrific things happen. But the good news is that out of that, God brings goodness. So out of death, he brings life. So anyone who's saved, you, me, anyone that's been saved throughout human history, this is what's happened to them. They have crossed over from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ. So we were all a part of darkness. We all live to gratify the desires of the flesh. We all follow the ways of this world. That's what we all did. We were by nature children of wrath.
Yeah.
But God changed all that, and what motivated him to change that was his very love. God so loved us that he sent Jesus because of his great love for us and his mercy toward us. He made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Mm-hmm. He's given us a brand new identity. And now he's working through us to share his love and life with those who are in darkness. So that's the deal. And he's given us the hope that one day all things will be made right. So all evils will be rectified in God's sovereignty, his grace, and his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And we will live in a world that is sin-free, that is pain-free, that is free of all the evil that we see in it now. So we have to recognize that this is a sinful world that we live in. It is a world that is in rebellion toward God. And it's as long as this world is in rebellion toward God, we're going to see bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But trust God to work all things together for good. Trust God to bring life out of death, love out of hate. He has that power to change us from the inside, to give us new life and give us a hope for the future.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners, and we had a call that came in from Charles, but unfortunately he had to hang up before we got the message of what his question was.
Well, so his question was this: if God fulfills us, why marry?
Okay.
And I think that's a good question. We need to be content in Christ, whether we're married or single. And our source of life needs to be Jesus Christ. And once we're content in Christ and God has poured out his love into our hearts, then we want to share that. And the best way that we can share that love of God is in a relationship with other people. And the most unique relationship and the most intimate and the relationship that we can share that love to the fullest is in marriage. So I think it's the very love that's been poured out in our hearts that moves us, that motivates us to want to be connected, to be in union physically with a spouse. Plus, God said in the very beginning that he made us male and female. We're to leave, to cleave, and to become one flesh. And he's given us a mandate, and that's to be fruitful and multiply. And so marriage carries out a purpose that God has placed at the very, very beginning. So we have the opportunity to serve another person in love, allow the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts to flow through us into the life of another human being in that special relationship called marriage. And that's when love is truly made complete in us, when we pass it on. Now, you don't have to be married to pass that love on to another person, but there's a uniqueness about the marriage relationship that allows you to love a person in the deepest way you possibly can as a human being. So I think why did God create? Because he wanted to. His love moved him to create so that he could share that love that he has with his creation, you and me. And so when God comes to live inside of us and we find our contentment in him, we want to share that love with others. And so people share it by sharing the gospel, telling others about Jesus. That's one way we do it. We share that love by helping to meet the needs, physical needs of people who are hungry, who need shelter, and those sort of things. And then there's this unique way that we can share that, and that's through the marriage relationship. And as Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, he said, marriage, it's a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church.
Yeah.
So this marriage relationship, its grand design is to be a signpost for the great love that Jesus has for the church.
Charles, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us today. You know, friends, Basic Gospel needs you to help us get the word out. When we see what's going on around the world and right here in our own neighborhoods, we speak those words, get the word out, with a sense of urgency. The forces of darkness seem to be closing in more rapidly than ever, right here in good old Christian America. Oftentimes, we hear a family member or a friend speak those words, I never thought I would live to see the day when, and you can fill in the blank. Individually, the world over, people's lives, their hopes, their dreams crumble, and they're left searching for meaning and purpose in life. That's why we must get the word out, friends. We have the answer, but we can't get it out without your help. Please help by joining us at basicgospel.net. Make your most generous gift today if you can, and help us reach out to those who need to hear the word of truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link, and we would love for you to partner with us in getting the word out.
Well, thanks, Bob. We had one of our YouTube watchers, viewers, ask this question. If we were given perfect hearts and were completely fulfilled by our relationship with God, why weren't Adam and Eve satisfied? Well, I think they were satisfied with their relationship with God the Father. They enjoyed walking with him in the garden and fellowshipping with him in the garden until the serpent set by that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and made it look desirable to Eve. So she was perfectly content. Adam was perfectly content. Everything was going, as we say in the South, peachy keen.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful life that they had in the garden. There was fulfillment in what they were doing and tending the garden and naming the animals and all the things that God had called them to do. There was joy in that. And then as Eve walked by that tree of the knowledge of good and evil on that one particular fateful day, the serpent, the crafty serpent, was there. And he started twisting the words of God and luring Eve to that tree and made it look desirable. And that's exactly what Moses wrote in Genesis, that it looked desirable to her. And so that desire kind of took root in her, and sin sprang from that. Mm-hmm. And then she ate, and she died spiritually. And Adam ate and died spiritually. So that it wasn't that they were discontent. It was that a lie started to weigh heavy in their minds. This thing looked desirable, and they acted on that lie. When you and I come to Christ, we have God's spirit living in us in union with our human spirit. And certainly we have possibilities of giving in to the desires of the flesh and the temptations of this world, and we do it. But we have a Holy Spirit that has sealed us until the day of redemption. We have God's promise that we are His forever, and His commitment to complete the work that He began. So we know that that's the case. And so when we give in to the desires of the flesh, we have the Holy Spirit reminding us of the forgiveness that we have in Christ, reminding us of who we are in Christ, and getting us back on the path of living out who we are as well.
I think we have just time to take this call from Randy in Austin, Bob.
Well, let's do. Randy, you're on Basic Gospel. Welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen, and always grateful for the work that you do.
Well, thank you.
Quick question, and my wife and I were kind of wondering about this, talking to each other about it, and thinking about the Second Commandment. Are paintings, drawings of Jesus, even movies about him, and there's so many beautiful classic paintings out there. Is that idolatry? And should we avoid such things as Christians?
Well, it's only idolatry if we worship something. So idolatry is a form of worship. And so whatever we worship, that thing is going to control us. So certainly there's a lot of people that idolize movies. They bow down to those types of things. But I think we as believers, we know the truth. We know that there's one God who's made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. And so our worship is of him. So I think it's a good question. But idolatry, the root of it is what we worship. And what we worship will control us, and there's only one that loves us and gave himself for us, and that's Jesus. And that's why our hearts have been bent toward him through regeneration.
Well, Randy, we are out of time. Thanks so much. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. Thanks for joining us, everybody, for Basic Gospel. We'll be back again tomorrow. But in the meantime, if a question pops into your mind before tomorrow's broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and you'll probably hear it answered on tomorrow's broadcast. Again, that's 844-322-2742. If you'd rather write your question, you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Friends, remember, your donations to Basic Gospel help keep this good news coming on your station and online. And when you give in September, we'll send you our DVD, Your Living Hope. It's our way of saying thanks for your support. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and all this great ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time. We'd love to have you here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.